Happy Halloween, NFP Nation, and welcome back to another installment of the Press Coverage Podcast. I am your host, Joe Fortenbaugh. We have a big, big show for you today. It's the Halloween edition of the Press Coverage Podcast, and bringing in I'm not even going to say pranksters, two jokesters, Michael Lombardi, Matthew Snake Eyes Bowen here from the NFP. Gentlemen, what's going on this morning? Bowen, what are you going as Halloween tonight, more importantly?
I'm not dressing up. My kids are going as Superman and Spider-Man. I'm just going to be, you know, pounding butt heavies and foam cups and walking the streets of Chicago.
You're just going to walk around Chicago pounding beers with that bald dome sticking out.
That's right.
There's a lot of famous bald people out there. You could go as one of them.
Yeah, what'd you bring up? Lex Luger? Go as him?
No, Lex Luthor from Superman. Lex Luger, wasn't he WWF?
Yeah.
He's a narcissist. The narcissist Lex Luger.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Lombardi, what do you think? What are you going as this weekend?
I'm going to just reminisce about the times when my kids would go out and I would like it. So, you know, it's a painful experience when your kids are no longer able to go out for Halloween. So, Matt, enjoy it because it was the fun time, you know, when you could take them trick or treating and see which house had the good candy. But I will say this. I will say this. I have a rule that I told my wife since the time we were married. We're giving out the big candy because when I was a fat kid, going around everybody's house, I was always double dipping to the big peanut butter. I didn't want that little candy crap. I wanted the big candy, you know?
So we're giving out
big candy, and I don't give a crap about anything. It's the big candy, and double dip on the houses. You know, who cares?
You know? So the bite-sized bars, as a child, the bite-sized bars for you were unacceptable. You needed
completely unacceptable. And the fruit, and let me say this to you, and I apologize for doing this, but anybody who gave out fruit, I threw it back at the house. So, okay? That's why I ended up at a military academy, me and Larry Fitzgerald. But anyway, let's go, Tipper. We got to go.
Yeah, we got to get going here. We got three big games today, and none of which involve bite-sized candy bars. Game number one on the docket. This is actually fruit. We don't want any fruit in the games as well. Number one, we're going to lead with the big hitter. It's at 4:30. 6-1 Minnesota, and old friend Brett Favre returned to 4-2 Green Bay Packers. This game is the rematch from a few weeks ago in week four. Minnesota takes down the Packers, on Monday night, 30-23. The highlight of the night, Aaron Rodgers sacked 8 times, 4.5 times by Jared Allen. Mike, we'll start with you. What's Green Bay going to need to do differently this time to come out with a win? Obviously, it starts up front with protection.
Well, yeah, and I think what's really gotten lost in translation here is the fact that this is almost a must-win for Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay has to go all in here. I mean, Green Bay has to do everything possible, whether it's a fake punt, fake field goal. They got to try everything possible because they have the most to lose. Forget the Brett Favre factor. If Green Bay loses this game, they're 0-2 to the Minnesota. They're down in the division. They're playing for the wild card. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come back and get a wild card spot, but this is all in for Green Bay. And so they're going to have to find a way to protect. I thought they did a nice job against Cleveland of matching their protections. They chipped inside. They chipped outside. And if they protect, I think it's been proven you can throw the football on Minnesota. But to me, the level of intensity has got to be much higher. The other factor, and I wrote about it this week, the crew. Whatever crew's calling the game, if they call a tight game on the corners, Al Harris and Charles Woodson, it could be problems for the Packers because the Packers have to get their hands on these receivers, disrupt their offense, reroute them. And if they call a tight game, there's going to be penalties. Last time there were 7 penalties in the game. That's not what the Packers need. Woodson had the interception on the goal line that really would have turned the game around. They called the penalty on Woodson. So I think penalties, tempo, and the Packers got to go all in.
Snake Eyes in meeting number one, Brett Favre, 271 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Very, very efficient game and looked outstanding taking down his former teammates. He returns to Green Bay. He says this is just game 1 of 16. It doesn't matter. We all know that's a bunch of crap. I can say that. Yeah. I'm not going to go with the S word, but we can say crap, complete crap. But on the other side of the ball, Aaron Rodgers played pretty well in that game too. And you documented this week, you were writing up in a scheme session about what the Packers need to do to exploit the Vikings cover two defense. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think anytime you play a cover two team, which Minnesota is you have to use the middle of the field. That means using the tight ends. That means using what I like to call 4 verticals, getting 2 guys on that middle linebacker and taking the safeties away out of the play by running verticals on the outside. And anytime the cover two team comes into your stadium, you have to exploit that middle linebacker. You have to get plays down the field. Think of what we saw all season. Remember when the Vikings played the Niners? Vernon Davis was big down the middle of the field. They have to do that. And I agree with Mike. It's going to come down to the corner play. As we've seen this season, Brett Favre is kind of making Sidney Rice that guy where he throws the ball up and lets him go make a play. Can Woodson and Harris make plays? If they're not called for holding, if they're not called for PI, I think this is a big game for them where they can cause turnovers, set up Rodgers with good field position. And I can't wait to watch this game. It's just going to be like a college atmosphere. It's going to be like Penn State, Ohio State, Joe. Big game.
Who cares about those teams? I'm done with them. Who you got winning it?
I'm taking the Pack at home. I think all lines have played better. I know that they didn't give up a sack last week. I know it was basically against a college team, the Browns. But, I thought they played better last week. I think they do just enough. And I think you see a little bit more Ryan Grant this week. And I'm taking the Pack at home.
Lombardi, who do you have?
I like the Packers here, too, because I think the one area that you can neutralize a great defensive line is on the road. And certainly the Packer crowd will really get into it. I think it'll make it much difficult for Favre to – and they'll hit him this time. They have to hit him. I mean, last time they really didn't pressure him, and I think they will. So, again, I think I like the Packers because they're the desperate team, and desperation in the month of November is really what it's all about. And you have to play every week as a desperate team.
I'm still sticking with Minnesota. The front four is too tough. They're going to get after Rodgers. They come away with the win. That's just my opinion, but that's just a bite-sized candy bar opinion. It's not the big hitter like you two. Game number two on the
docket. Yeah, Milky Way. That's what you would hand out. Little Milky Ways.
Little Milky Ways. That's where everyone's getting a little. No, you know what? I'm giving out the little, like the Fifth Avenue bar, the ones that no one really
terrible.
Likes. Yeah, the Almond Joys.
Almond Joys, yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Game number two on the docket. 6-0, Denver coming off the bye, heading to 3-3. Baltimore also coming off the bye. The Ravens have lost three straight, all three of which were tough games. Bengals, Patriots, and Vikings. So it's not like there were any schmuck teams in that lineup. What we're looking at this year is Baltimore 23rd in pass defense. This isn't that staunch Baltimore pass defense and overall defense that we all know and love. Ray Rice, 776 total yards coming into this game. He's also got four touchdowns. He's been the big player on offense. And then Denver on the other side of the ball, the second-ranked total defense in the league, only giving up 262 yards a game. Snake Eyes, we'll start with you. Does Denver go into this and come out at 7-0, or is Baltimore finally the team that pulls off the win over the Broncos?
No, I'm going to stick with the Broncos. I think it goes back to what Mike talked about in an earlier podcast, is their corner play in Baltimore isn't very good. This isn't 5 years ago when he had a young Chris McAllister who was healthy and big with the long arms and physical. These corners are getting beaten. That's why their pass defense has suffered. You still have Ed Reed in the middle of the field, but he can't do everything. And we know Baltimore is going to pressure. What that's going to do is it'll allow Brandon Marshall and Eddie Royal to see man coverage. I think Orton does enough to win. Gets them involved in the game. And I think in the fourth quarter, this is how Denver wins. They keep the game close, and they wear you down in the fourth quarter. They get the running game going. And right now, the Denver defense, we still don't talk about them like we do Pittsburgh or Baltimore or New Orleans right now, but they're second-ranked unit in the league. They're only giving up 11 points a game. I'm sticking with the Broncos till someone shows me they can beat them.
Great example using Baltimore right after you talked about how Baltimore is not good on defense. That was those analysis right there. Mike, three straight losses to the Ravens, but they're coming off the bye. How important is that for them to try to right the ship and get back on track here now that they're trailing both the Bengals and Steelers in the AFC North?
Well, it's November, and I'm going to keep writing this because November is the key month. This is really ultimately it's all about what you do in November. It's not what you did in September. And I think Baltimore now knows who they are as a football team. They realize, we're not great on defense. So they got to play really good in the red area. They're going to have to create some pressures that they can win each week. And they got to realize that their stats are not going to look very pretty. And they're going to have to win games with their offense. I mean, let's be honest. They're just not the same Baltimore Raven team. When they signed Dominique Foxworth, that told me they're really not paying attention to their corner situation. I mean, Dominique Foxworth was on the Denver team and got traded away for a seventh if. I was with him. I mean, he's not going to cover, really. So the reality of the situation is they can't do it. But in this game, I think Denver has always played those close kind of games. Baltimore is a team that has lost three games, but they could easily be undefeated. If you watch the tapes of the games, they've had plays that they don't make. And ultimately, Denver has made every one of those plays. At some point, the streak's going to end. I think Baltimore's offense carries them today. I think Baltimore, with the extra week of preparation to really study what they do, they realize they got to make a second half adjustment. I think Baltimore's offense playing at home. Denver's going to have to lose at some point. I mean, there's just not, they're not that talented of a team to go undefeated. And I think that Baltimore can find a way to win by handling with their offense.
Oh, so Lombardi's got the Ravens, Snake Eyes got the Broncos. That's one to keep an eye on this weekend. Let's move to game three. This one is near and dear to my heart. Personally, this is the game I circle every year on the schedule because it's, as an Eagles fan, I like this one the most. The New York Giants.
Now, wait a minute. You circle this for the free food in the press box. That's why you circle it. Okay, let's just cut the crap. You circle this because you'll be down there in Philly and you're eating the free food. So that's why you circle it. So continue.
Just because I like the free soft pretzels they lay out before the game doesn't mean I'm not going to circle the game to watch it anyway. All right? This is a big one. This is Big Blue. I hate Big Blue. And they're coming to town this weekend at 5-2. Off two straight losses, lost to, was it the Cardinals last week, 24-17. That was kind of embarrassing. That one was at home, and that was great to see as an Eagles fan. Eagles at 4-2 have not looked impressive one bit. 2 weeks ago, losing at Oakland. Last Monday night, beating the Redskins in Washington. But the offense and Donovan McNabb didn't look that impressive outside of a couple big DeSean Jackson touchdowns. Mike, we're going to start with you. This is the big matchup in the NFC East. The winner of this takes the lead. How do you see this thing playing out?
You know, I agree. I think Philly did not play. I watched the tape closely, and I don't think Philly played very well. And I think the Brian Westbrook injury is going to be significant because if he doesn't play, then Shady McCoy can't protect. I mean, the play before the touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson, Shady McCoy gives up a sack because he doesn't handle the protection very well. And I think it's going to be a problem. And I think the Giants, when you really watch the Arizona tape, their defensive line was close. It just didn't make enough plays in the game. And that game was in balance there. I mean, they ultimately gave up a couple big throws, but they were harassing Warner. They're still ranked fairly high defensively. I just think the Giants are the better team. They're playing better now, even though they've lost two in a row. The Eagles beating the Redskins, and you watch that tape closely. That was not an impressive performance. McNabb was inaccurate. He was uncomfortable in the pocket. I don't know really what they want to do in the running game. The Wildcat, to me, doesn't make sense. So, you know, I just like right now, I like the Giants as the better, more talented team because I remember the Tampa game where you were eating the free food, Joe, and I was watching the game.
Oh, here we go.
And the Bucs were moving the ball up and down the field against them. And if they didn't drop passes, you know, I'm worried about this Eagle secondary. So that's where I think if they can't rush, which I don't think they will be, I think this is when they can move the football.
That Tampa Bay game was also the one where you big-timed me, if I'm not mistaken. I came up into the press box, and you were just so busy with more important people that you had no time for me. I remember that. That was a good morning. Any comment on that?
You have to understand that when you're out there amongst the people, you can't give everybody the time. I talk to you during the week. You're a weekday friend. You're not a weekend friend.
That's an almond joy for you, pal. And it's a small one at that. Bowen, listen, I didn't. So quite frankly, I didn't really listen to anything Lombardi just said. He started talking about the Giants, and I had just had enough. So I tuned him out. Tell me something good here. You pick Philadelphia, you go to the Super Bowl. Are they going to win this thing?
I'm taking the birds at home, guy. I got to. The reason I'm doing that is I'm not big on Eli Manning right now. I think he's struggling his last two games against pressure defenses. You know, Arizona's usually not a pressure deep. They showed a lot of different looks. They brought some zone pressure. They dropped guys in the coverage. And I thought Eli threw the ball in places we normally don't see him try to make plays. He forced passes. You know, Philly's plus 11 in turnover ratio this year. I know, you know, what Mike says with Westbrook bringing it out, but I think they're a big play offense. I think they get enough big plays. They force some turnovers on defense. And I'm taking the birds at home. You're going to be stuck in that parking lot forever because the Yankees are playing the Phillies across the street that night.
I got no chance. Great point.
Bring a sleeping bag, Tipper.
I need a helicopter. Anyone got a helicopter? I don't know how the hell I'm going to get out of that thing. It's a mess getting out of there when they play Kansas City and everyone's going in the third quarter.
Dan Snyder's got a helicopter. He can come pick you up.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's going to do, this helicopter. Help out some loser Eagles fan get out of the Eagle-New York game. All right, it's time for the buy or sell portion of the program. However, we're going trick or treat to go with a, you know, goofy Halloween theme since I had nothing else better to come up with. So we're going to play trick or treat this weekend. Number one, we're going to talk New Orleans Saints. Currently undefeated. And, you know, a couple years ago, we saw the Pats go 16-0. Can the Saints run the table? And let me throw a few games at you. November 30th, they host New England. December 19th, they host Dallas. Outside of that, there's a couple games against the Falcons, and that's just about it. Tampa Bay and Carolina are on the schedule as well. Snake Eyes, let's go to you first. Can the Saints run the table? Will they run the table? Trick or treat?
I don't think they're running the table. I just think it's too hard. There's too many things that go into each week. There's injuries. It's just too hard to do. I think they can win every game at home. I think they can beat New England at home. I think they can beat Dallas at home. But there's always that one week where you just the game plan doesn't work. You turn the ball over. Things just don't go your way. So I don't see it happening.
Lombardi, trick or treat? Saints go 16-0.
I don't think you want to go 16-0. I think ultimately you want to be able to reevaluate your team and reconnect with your team. And if you have too much success, they don't hear your message. And I think that ultimately it's very difficult. You have to have a very mature team to go undefeated. I think the best thing would be 14-2 is really good. 15-1 is great. You know, get in there and then focus on what you need to improve on. I don't see them doing it, though. I don't see them going undefeated.
All right, sticking with you, Mike. Trick or treat. Let's go to the other side of the spectrum here. Any team going winless this season? We've got Tennessee, Tampa Bay, and St. Louis all without a win. St. Louis in the big showdown with the Detroit Lions this weekend. Can't believe we didn't cover that game in the podcast. Can any one of these three teams finish this season like the Lions last year winless, Mike?
You know, I really think that Tennessee will win a game. I mean, they have enough talent to be able to win some games. And with Chris Johnson, you know, certainly they can make enough plays offensively. St. Louis, I don't know how they win a game. They could win in Detroit. I think you have to look at the schedule. It's few and far between for St. Louis. I think St. Louis is going to have to win at home and against a lesser opponent. I think they're a team that really is one of the least talented. I've said this all summer, one of the least talented teams I've seen in a long time in the NFL. And Tampa has talent, particularly on offense. Defensively, they really lack some issues. I think with the young quarterback, I think now that they've gone to the rookie quarterback and as bad as they are on defense, I think they're the team, for me, that could lose and not win a game all year.
Owen, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I think Tennessee wins on Sunday, actually. I just think they have, like Mike said, enough talent to get wins throughout the season. I think the Rams don't win a game. I really don't. I think they're going to lose this week to Detroit. And you know, I just don't see. I don't think they have enough talent to score enough points. They're going to need defensive players to step up and score touchdowns on defense to win games. I don't see it happen.
So you don't like St. Louis. You agree with Lombardi. That's great. That does nothing for me. Let's move to number three. This is the big one of the group. This is the one everyone was arguing about off air before we started this little thing. Trick or treat, Bengals running back Cedric Benson for MVP. Let me read some numbers to you before you start to shut me down on this one. 720 rush yards this season. That leads the NFL. 23.4 attempts per game, that leads the NFL. 102.9 rushing yards per game, that leads the NFL. Cincinnati's 5-2. Lombardi, trick or treat, Benson for MVP.
Look, I was wrong on Benson, I admit it. He's much better than I ever thought he was while he played for the Bears. But MVP, no chance. I mean, ultimately, and I've said this 1,000 times, the running backs are nice, decorative items. They don't take a team to the Super Bowl. You have to have a good back. I understand it, but no team's winning with their running back alone. I mean, that's been proven in the league. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, there's going to be quarterbacks all ahead of him. I think he's had a great year, and I am telling you, I was wrong, but no way.
Well, you know what? Then why don't they call it the Most Valuable Quarterback Award then if they're not going to award it to anyone else? Bowen, get in here, bring some balance to the conversation. What say you, Benson, for MVP?
Well, that's going to make everyone in Chicago vomit when they hear that because but I'm with Mike. He has had a great year. But, you know, if we're going to talk about Cedric Benson, Joe, why can't we talk about a defensive player? I know it's never going to happen. But what about Darren Sharp? He's got 6 picks this year, 3 of them he brought back for touchdowns. Every time he touches a ball as a safety, he's averaging 52 yards. I mean, he's playing one of the top defenses in the league, and, you know, the Saints are going to be probably the number one seed in the NFC. Why can't we talk about him?
You know what? I think the one move that nobody talks about is really Minnesota would be a much better team with Darren Sharper than they are without him. And I think that's the one that's kind of gotten lost. I mean, Minnesota's won 6 games, so it's kind of been hidden from them. But they really miss Darren Sharper, particularly in their secondary. I've never seen a guy that makes more plays on the football than this guy. He just seems to be around it. And when you go work him out, yeah, he's not as fast as you want. Yeah, he doesn't play man-to-man like you like. But the guy is instinctive. And the way the NFL is today with red zone, you have to play great in the red zone. You're not playing great defense. No more. Forget about playing shutdown defense. Those days are over. 8 teams last week had over 400 yards. Can't do it. But the one thing you can do is play good in the red area. And with a guy like Sharper, who can read quarterbacks and read routes, he makes them more effective.
I didn't expect that to turn into a Darren Sharper conversation, but good to know.
So Bowen's just because you're the host, just because you can't control the content. I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, you have to let your obsessive compulsive ways slip away here, Joe. You know, you gotta at least have some freedom.
That's bullcrap. If I'm gonna host this thing, I should have a little. Send the email with the content. Everyone just starts talking about candy and being fat when they were younger.
All right, Seacrest. Okay, Seacrest
out. I've had enough. This show is over. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. For everyone out there this weekend, enjoy the holidays. Drive slow. Little kids and drunk Matt Bowens are out in the streets. We don't want them getting run over. For Michael Lumprey and Matthew Bowen, I am Joe Fortenball. Enjoy the football this weekend. We will see you next time.